This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you. And what is a really difficult day for Jews worldwide?
Yes. Hi, Boker Tov, Simon. Chanukah Sameach, Shavua Tov. I was hoping to say today that we finally can go into a Chanukah that is filled with light and that is filled with some positive news. And then two things really happened, which spoiled it a little and has put a little downer for me on Chanukah. The first of which was this video that was published showing six Israeli hostages in a tunnel in Gaza lighting Chanukah candles. And though that was a video of Ori Danina, Hirsch Goldberg, Paulin, Almog Sarusi, Alexander Lubanov, Eden Yerushalmi, and Carmel Gut, who were all together in a tunnel, and they were videoed lighting a Chanukah candle and singing Chanukah songs and showing how difficult it was for them to light the candle because of the lack of oxygen in that tunnel, where they struggled actually to get the candle alight. And what we know is, of course, that all six of them were killed in cold blood, were shot in the head at point-blank range, murdered because IDF soldiers were feared to be getting near to them by their captors. And so this is something which the families have released for Chanukah. And I suppose it sends the message that if they, in those tunnels and in those conditions, can light Chanukah candles and sing Chanukah songs, there is no reason why any of us shouldn't be able to do it in our circumstances. So trying to take some positive from what was a very, very difficult situation. Of course, the events of yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, have cast a massive, massive black cloud over Chanukah in Israel. Everybody was following the events quite closely yesterday. And of course, you know, our prime minister has had his say on the matter.
Yeah, Anthony, we played Benjamin Netanyahu's comments on the issue. We also played President Herzog's thoughts on the matter. Bibi, unusually angry, it struck me.
Yeah, well, I suppose for me, the question is, are we justified to lay the blame of this at the Australian government, at the door of the Australian government? To what extent has the Australian government really been one of the catalysts, if not the catalyst, for these events? And I've gone through a whole range of thoughts about this as we were following the events of yesterday in real time and just absorbing the enormity of this massacre that took place in Bondi. So my views are relatively developed since yesterday. And what I've come to the conclusion is that people who feel that you can be anti-Zionist and not anti-Semitic, well, yesterday's events really show that that doesn't work very well, because you could turn around and say, well, you know, Hamas may have attacked Israel, but there are things about the way in which Israel has conducted this war which I think are not legitimate. And I feel that I have the right to criticize Israel without being anti-Semitic. Now, the problem is that, you know, from the anti-Zionism debate, where you get the accusations of apartheid and genocide and all these hot blooded words that have so much fuel in them. They have so much hatred involved in them. To try to say, well, I'm anti-Israel, but as a Jew, I'm anti-Israel, but I'm not anti-Semitic, or not as a Jew, I'm anti-Israel, but not anti-Semitic, I think starts to wear a little thin. Because even if you feel that you might have a legitimate case to make, I don't know, during the war, for example, all eyes on Rafah, or starvation in Gaza, we remember those terms, and you could say, well, that's a humanitarian position that I'm adopting. I'm saying, don't starve innocent people in Gaza. Don't go into Rafah when it might involve the death of innocent people. And now, with the benefit of hindsight, we can see that all eyes on Rafah was really a Hamas propagated term to try to protect what was going on in the tunnels of Rafah. Starvation in Gaza had as its backdrop, we now discover, mountains of baby formula that was hidden away from people in Gaza in order to mount this whole concept and the whole campaign of starvation in Gaza. So what I'm saying is relatively easy to understand, and that is that if you support Hamas in any possible way, even supporting Hamas in terms of starvation in Gaza, which was a Hamas campaign, or All Eyes on Rafah, or any other humanitarian legitimate cause, or something that looks humanitarian and legitimate but comes from Hamas, you are supporting annihilation of the Jews, because Hamas has said unequivocally that they will commit October the 7th again. They will do it in Bondi, and they will do it in Israel, and they will do it in Manchester, and they will do it wherever they possibly can. They will annihilate the Jews at every opportunity. So nobody can justifiably stand up to me and make the case that they can support the innocents in Gaza who are all Hamas supporters or somehow involved in the Hamas machine. And then we see that governments who have come along and made the case for All Eyes on Rafah, or supporting starvation in prevention of starvation in Gaza, and have supported Hamas in any possible way, are fueling anti-Semitism on their own campuses and in their own backyards. And that is what we saw yesterday. And I think that that is really what stands behind Prime Minister Netanyahu's statement that the Australian government has responsibility in this, because at some point you have legitimate Australians who come from Pakistan and who are anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist, but Australians, and you have Australians who are Jews who live in the same neighborhood. And the Australian government, up until now, at least to my eyes, has done very little to protect the Jewish community, and has done a lot to undermine their strength and to undermine their security by supporting Hamas and supporting the anti-Semitism that comes with it, and therefore allowing events like yesterday to go ahead, effectively strengthening the case and legitimizing those who think that they can stand up and be anti-Semitic and carry out massacres. My view, I've had my rant, I'm angry, I'm upset, I am extremely heartbroken for the Australian Jewish community, and my thoughts go out to those who have lost loved ones, and for a refuah shlema to those who are recovering. And I'm not sure how we can really recover from those events yesterday and still move forward in Hanukkah. We will do it, because we will celebrate Hanukkah, and we will light our lights, and we will bring light wherever we can. But it is an extremely painful situation that we all find ourselves in today.
So much to respond to there, Anthony. Just one thing. Towards the end of last week, I think it was published in the Times of Israel, that Khaled Mashal was saying that 51% of youngsters on American campuses support Hamas. I mean, if this is true, if this is in fact the case, then what you spoke about, the fig leaf, is even going to be removed. There isn't even a pretense that one needs to be anti-Zionist. It seems that being anti-Jewish is has now become acceptable. What's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I agree with you, because the problem is that from the top down, from the governments and from the leadership, people get the message that it is okay to be anti-Israel because Israel is not conducting itself in a legitimate way in this war, forgetting that Israel was attacked, and Israel, there was an attempt to annihilate not only Israel, but ultimately the Jews across the world. That has all been put to one side. Because why? Because innocents are being killed in Gaza. The responsibility of the innocents being killed in Gaza is firmly that of Hamas and Hamas supporters, including Qatar and including other foreign regimes, including the United Nations and including other governments who have fed Hamas, whether it be by voting in the United Nations for various votes, or by providing money to UNRWA, or by standing up in the European Parliament and making anti-Israeli statements about its right to defend itself and the way in which the war has been conducted. All of that has supported Hamas, and all of that is part of a campaign of not only anti-Zionism, but ultimately anti-Semitism. And as I say, it's easy to connect the dots when you see what happened yesterday in Bondi.
I know this is the Israel Report, not the Australia Report, but nevertheless, I'm just interested in your perspective as an Israeli. Are you surprised by the fact that this happened in Australia?
The answer is I'm absolutely shocked that it happened in the way that it did yesterday. Am I surprised that it happened in Australia? I don't think I would be surprised if it happened anywhere, because I just feel that right now there is hardly enough protection of Jewish communities around the world by the countries in which they live. And I can take that across the board, even the United States, where we have President Trump, and who's been fantastically supportive of Israel and its right to defend itself and the war that Israel has been waging. And the president himself has stood up. And yet, when you go to the campuses and you see the hatred on the campuses and the leadership of those Ivy League universities who are legitimizing and who are emboldening anti-Israel and anti-Semitic behavior, then I feel that there is nowhere near enough support of Jewish communities in general around the world. Australia, of course, is part of that.
Australia part of that, and I'm thinking back to the weekly marches that were held in Melbourne and Sydney and everywhere else. I'm thinking about that massive march over the Sydney Bridge. I'm thinking about Albanese's recognition of a Palestinian state. I'm thinking of many utterances by Penny Wong. I mean, it seems to me that this could only have ended where it did.
Well, the problem is, Simon, as you know, that it's not specific to Australia, because when you see what happens in Europe, for example, it's happening in the UK, and it's happening in France, and it's happening to some degree in Italy, and it's happening in Belgium, and it's happening in the Netherlands, and it's happening all around the world, where you see governments standing up and trying to present this sort of humanitarian face, which ultimately is a way for them to legitimize their support of Hamas and the support of what's happening in Gaza. And ultimately, that certainly weakens the base for Jews to survive and to live comfortably in their home countries around the world. So unfortunately, I'm unsurprised, but I'm deeply, deeply shocked at what happened. And I just can't, I've seen the videos, I've seen too much, to be honest, and I can't get those visions out of my mind, the way that the gunmen were just sort of freely able to shoot at people, innocents being killed. I can't get it. And I hope that in the same way that people have been shocked by what goes on in Australia, people can also understand why Israelis are like they are and why Israel behaves in the way that it does, because we just don't trust anybody. When it comes down to our own safety and security, Israelis are very determined to make sure that they are safe and secure in their homeland. And if that means that we have to go into Gaza and, for example, to carry out an attack of the type that happened on Shabbat, where the Hamas number two was killed in an amazing operation, then that is what will happen. And if there are so-called collateral damage, if there are other casualties involved, then that is all very unfortunate, but it doesn't mean that we won't carry out these attacks. So, I hope that it puts that into some perspective. And I hope that some of those Jews who feel that they've been justified in showing the humanitarian side by supporting Gazans and what's happening in Gaza and giving support to Hamas will have an opportunity to think twice about that, because you are not safe wherever you are around the world.
Anthony, thanks for your input this morning. Very important input at that. That brings us to 8 o'clock, and it is time for News with George.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.